Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fear. Fear is a theme as we get into this first segment here. But first, we want to hear from Mr. Ben Hameen. Here's Ben Roethlisberger.
Still working through it, you know, and I think, you know, that's the good news, if you will, is that it's still early and we can try and, you know, we still have time to figure it out. We've got a, you know, good team coming in here. Like I said, divisional opponent, we got to get it right. And like I said, it's frustrating. I think, the best way to figure out an identity is for the quarterback to play better. And so that's what I need to do. So I'll work on me getting myself ready to go and making better reads, better throws, and trying to put us in a situation to win a football game.
And there we go. Ben Roethlisberger talking about trying to find an identity, forge an identity as an offense and as a team. We all have fears, it seems like, as Steeler consumers right now with this team being 1-1. They won one, they lost one. A lot of us thought they'd be at 1-1, but right, not the way that they got there. Now, the most of the fears, though, go away if the Steelers find a way to beat the Bengals come Sunday. That would put them in a position where they're 2-1, where they're 1-0 in the all-important AFC North, where it seems like a restart to the season, where you have an elongated season. It's regular now. It's 17 games, but it's just a little bit different. You know, you then would say they've won 2 of 3. They're 1-0 in the division. Mm-hmm. They'd be on top of the division. So from a fear standpoint, is that thematically kind of the theme that's going to vein through this first segment? Would your fears go away? Because whether it's 18-17, 7-0, 52-51, mine kind of would to a degree. And I wouldn't even have to see how they would do it.
Okay.
A win is a win is a win is a win. If they're 2-1, 1-0, my fears would kind of go away to some degree.
It would depend, you know, and it would depend in large part on how they did it. And if they started to find a little bit of a running game, if the offensive line started to look a little bit better, if the defense got a little bit healthier, if all those things happen and they beat the Bengals, then yeah, a lot of my fears will be taken care of at that point. But if they struggle to beat Cincinnati, they got to kick a walk-off field goal, and Ben still is having issues throwing the ball down the middle of the field, and Najee still can't get any traction going on the ground because the offensive line is struggling and they don't have any fixes for it, and I don't know, maybe they're still dealing with injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe Watt doesn't even play, and everybody, there's no pass rush. But, you know, you could see all of that happening, and they still squeak by the Bengals. And then you're 2-1, which is great. Yeah, absolutely. 2-1 is a great start, but you wonder about where it goes from there.
I just think this is a football team that's not one of the best in the NFL. It's mm-hmm. not one of the worst in the NFL. And it's a team that's going to be a week-by-week proposition. And thus, a win is a win is a win is what this team is going to be built on this year. And that there's no matter how you draw it up, if they escape stadiums with wins, that's a big thing for this team. It's not how they did it. It's just that they did it. I've resigned myself to that. I just, you can't, the defense, I don't know if you can rely on them as much anymore with the front being beat up. The offense, we know what they don't have, and that's an offensive line. Mm-hmm. If you can just escape and get out of there with wins, for me, that's good enough to get a chance just to maybe make your way into the tournament.
Well,
and
I was
then
gonna,
it all starts over.
I was going to say, so let me, you make a good point. A win is a win, and nobody's going to argue that. But when you're going up and down and roller coastering your way through the season, rather than last year, which was a big steep climb, and mm-hmm. then bang, Steel Phantom style descent, right? if you're going up and down, little hills, right? What that means is that this team is more of the 8-9, 9-8 variety, which we thought they were at the beginning of the season, right? Than the 10-7 team I think we got our hopes up for after we saw them play the way they did, especially in the fourth quarter against Buffalo.
I didn't. I think they're a 9-8 team. I've thought that all the way through, even after the Buffalo game, and I just want them to squeak into a wild card and make the tournament and then see what happens. Maybe catch a flyer and Ben Roethlisberger all of a sudden decides to, well, have an unbelievable game, or Najee Harris shows out, or the defense gets four turnovers and something crazy happens. That's my thought on this season, and it won't change, even if they go on a four-game winning streak or a four-game losing streak. This team, 9-8 would be good enough. Getting into the tournament as a sixth seed or something like that, or just making the wild card and getting in and then having a chance. Because that's all they are, these Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, and again, we agree that this is a 9-8 football team. But if they were to rip off 4 in a row, 5 in a row in the win column, I go, okay, obviously, numerically, that's going to make them better than 9-8, most likely, unless they fall apart in December or January, which, given the schedule, wouldn't surprise me. Conversely, if they were to lose, let's say they lost the next three, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're 1-4 going into that Sunday night game against Seattle right before the bye. The sky will be falling here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, it sure will. Yeah. It absolutely
will.
And
it will be hard to argue against it, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, you're right about that. But I do think they're about better than half the teams they're going to play and worse than about half the teams that they're going to play. Fear, as we move on, what will offset the fears that people have? Make no mistake, you have fear right now. It is Tuesday morning. It is 6:09 a.m. You have fear about the lunch hour today because someone is going to say, "Good afternoon." And then they're going to get in all kinds of stuff, and they're probably going to start with injuries because that's where they start a lot of times. Mike Tomlin does with his weekly news briefing, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to talk about injuries. What would offset the fear when he mentions Watt and when he mentions Deontay Johnson? Does he have to say they're going to play this week, they'll be okay, the week will speak to us? Is that too cryptic for you and you don't know? Like, because he can go a lot of different ways here. And I'll tell you right now, for the next 6 hours, I got fear.
As long as he doesn't tell me that TJ Watt is going to be out an extended period of time, I will, those fears will be assuaged about the defense and the pass rush and all that. If he says, and it doesn't even have to be a definitive TJ will play this week, all it has to be is, like you said, the typical cryptic Tomlin comment of, you know, we're going to get TJ back out there, and we'll let his participation be our guide.
Right.
You know, give me that, because that tells me, hey, if TJ can get out on the practice field, in all likelihood, he'll be able to play come Sunday. And if he plays on Sunday, then we're not talking about a long-term injury and something that could stifle their pass rush for multiple weeks on end.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. As long as it's not one of these definitive, okay, he's got this and he's going to be out a little while, with either one of those guys, because this is exactly Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
This is exactly why you don't trade James Washington, you know, exactly why mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. But I don't want to find out either. Deontay Johnson needs to play for this offense to maybe function somehow.
I don't disagree that losing Johnson would be a blow. Obviously, he's their leading receiver through the first two games, and Ben looks to him in moments. Now, at this point, they've developed that chemistry. I would much rather have Deontay Johnson available to them than unavailable to them. But I wonder if it wouldn't open some things up for in particular, I know we're going to get into how to fix the offense later, and this will be my big point, a guy like Pat Freiermuth. And I know Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth don't play the same positions, don't even serve the same function necessarily on the field. But if it wouldn't start to open things up over the middle rather than even more balls being thrown
to
the perimeter.
Well, I think that the way that you can open up the middle is have Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster run crossing routes more. That would open up the middle to me. My fear is that one of these guys is out long term, and we don't know until Mike Tomlin says one of these guys isn't out long term, or both aren't out long term. Fear, right? Fear is a crazy thing. Do we fear Joe Burrow? Now, I think that Joe Burrow fears his offensive line much the way Ben Roethlisberger fears his own as well, considering Joe Burrow's been sacked 9 times over the first 2 weeks. They are 1-1, much like everyone in the AFC North. But the Steeler fans fear Burrow. Burrow in a win against the Vikings, 20-27, 261, 2 touchdowns. Again, sacked, though, 5 times. Mm-hmm. In a loss against the Bears, 19-30, 207, 2-3. Two touchdowns, three interceptions, sacked four times. I don't fear Joe Burrow yet because they don't have pieces around him that make me fear him. I fear him in small spans. I fear him making a throw here and there. I don't fear the totality of his game, though, because he doesn't have teammates, I don't think, around him, especially that line, that are good enough to build up what his skill set is.
He doesn't have the line, and again, if the Steelers' pass rush is healthy, or at the very least has T.J. Watt available at their disposal, I think it'll be another long day for Joe Burrow. But he does strike fear in me in so much as if the Steelers' secondary is thin at corner again, if Joe Hayden is out, it takes one play, as we saw on Sunday, and the Bengals are capable constantly of breaking that one play, whether it's Higgins, whether it's Chase, who those two have obvious chemistry, and Chase was the guy who broke it in week one for them, then it just takes one play to break it. And so, yeah, I do have a healthy fear of Joe Burrow, even despite the limitations of his offensive line.
I don't have a ton, but I do fear that if you let him hang around and it's close, he can make that one throw that, frankly, right now, I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger can make, and he can hurt you. If it's you know, 20-20 and there's 4 minutes left and someone, a coverage breaks down, he'll throw the ball that'll traverse 40 yards in the air and hit you over your head, mm-hmm. and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have that throw or hasn't shown it right now. I watched the game the other night, and the Chargers quarterback was routinely making 40-yard throws through the air that were of ease, and Joe Burrow makes those throws. That's the fear I have in him. I don't fear him engineering a full football game, though, because I don't think he has the guys around him where he can do that. Anytime right. they get momentum going, the offensive line screws up, and we know how that works here in Pittsburgh this year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.